There's been less media attention on the southern border since the end of Title 42 earlier this month, but migrants are still seeking asylum, and that process is complicated, to say the least. To shed some light on these new rules, let's bring in Priscilla Orta. She's the supervising attorney for Lawyers for Good Government and a member of the Welcome with Dignity Coalition. She's on the ground in Brownsville, but travels daily to Matamoros and Reynosa, Mexico. Priscilla, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Priscilla, what are you seeing in these last few days, the last week, that's different to when Title 42 was in effect?
I think that what's really changed on the ground is just how scared people are about losing their opportunity to seek asylum and what they are willing to put up with in order to be able to seek it.
Let's get into some of that, because it did get very difficult and I have to say confusing when Title 42 ended, to that very question of how you can get in to seek asylum. The government is saying all migrants have to have an appointment on their app, which is called CBP One, to present at the border, or they had to apply for asylum in a third country and be denied. But we've heard that migrants are also presenting at some ports of entry and being processed in without either of these. In some places, it's very confusing. Can you clarify for us?
Absolutely. And I'd like to start with, it is confusing. I think the confusion is part of the process in many ways. I think that's part of the point. But here's what's happening. The law states that if you wish to seek asylum, full asylum, having a full chance to get your full benefits, you must have a CBP-1 app. But the Immigration and Nationality Act, the actual law that has been passed by Congress, as opposed to this rule, this is a rule that was made by the administration, not by Congress. The law says you have to be allowed to approach a ports of entry in order to seek asylum as well. And so what this rule does is say, okay, you can go to the port. You can. And you should be processed. You should. But you are risking not being allowed to ever seek asylum, not being allowed to ever have the full opportunities that others with an app will have.
What does that mean, that they don't have the full chance to seek asylum? So you line up, say, at the bridge there in Reynosa, you want to cross over. They say, okay, we've processed you in. What happens next just because you didn't have an appointment?
Sure. So you have a couple of options, right? Option one, the government is going to detain you and they're going to send you to these new tents. It's a literal tent where CBP will hold you. And inside of there, you will have your credible fear, which is going to be held to a higher standard called reasonable fear. And you will have to explain to an asylum officer via the phone with no representation why it is that you came without an appointment. Now, if you have an exception to having an appointment, because the rule does have some exceptions, then in theory, you should be allowed to then seek asylum like everyone who had an appointment. But again, we don't know what the standard is. Many of the folks who are detained won't have attorneys. And it's not entirely clear, you know, what even counts. The other option is that you're released.
Okay. And are people taking the government up on this where you are? Are they lining up at the bridge because they just can't get an appointment on this very problematic app that we've heard about?
Yes, this is happening, at least in my region, the Rio Grande Valley. But it's not as many people as I frankly anticipated.
And why is that, do you think?
You know, something that I learned this week working directly with migrants who are seeking asylum is just what it meant. Because to the clients I'm working with, the reason they haven't all started going is because they want a full opportunity to stay in the United States. They truly fear. One thing is Mexico. Another thing is their home country. And what's happening in Mexico does not scare them. I can only imagine the horror that they saw in their home country.
And you have clients particularly who are facing incredible brutality right now, waiting in Mexico, right?
Yes, we have literally more than a handful of clients who are now facing beatings, extortions, but particularly rape over and over by various criminal actors in Mexico who can't be controlled by their government. And they're simply, you know, they've kind of accepted that this is going to happen to me until I can get an appointment. It is worth everything to get an appointment so that I can seek full asylum. And I never knew what it meant in an emotional level to migrants.
What you describe sounds just awful, Priscilla. Can people not report this to local authorities?
Unfortunately, there's multiple factors that go into why they cannot. Part one is that many migrants traveled to the border on now expired humanitarian visas. So they are, for all intents and purposes, undocumented in Mexico. And the Mexican authorities have in the past and could very easily in the future deport them for reporting. And the second issue is much larger. These criminal organizations run the cities. They are the authorities. They literally determine when people go outside. They determine, I'll give an example. Last week, there was a cartel fluff-up, basically, between two cartels where they were going to start their new war. And they literally sent messages out to the city officials, and the city officials passed it out to the people. When city officials themselves take messages from cartels and take orders from cartels, it is very difficult to then turn around and say, oh, you should just go report them to the authorities. They're one and the same, unfortunately, in the lived reality of the migrants in Mexico.
Priscilla Orta, supervising attorney with Lawyers for Good Government. Thanks so much, Priscilla.
You're welcome. Thank you.